In uncertain times, it is so important to know what's going on in the world around you. Important things that you need to know to maybe even survive in this world. Yeah. Where are you going to get the latest and greatest news, the things you really, really need to know? Right here with your boys, the Decibel Geek Podcast, as we bring you Geek Wire. A lot of stuff in the news this week. I'm Aaron Camaro, joined as always by the man who's always in the know, going to smarten the rest of us up, Mr. Chris Sinzak. How you doing, brother?
Oh, hanging in there. It's been too many people dying, but aside from that, doing pretty good.
Man, ain't that the truth? That's crazy. So many people dying. I mean, if we're going to start off the Geek Wire and talk about the latest happenings in the world of rock and roll, there's no bigger story out there right now than the passing of legendary rock guitarist Jeff Beck, passed away at the age of 78.
Yeah, apparently he died after suddenly contracting bacterial meningitis, is what his family said. And but yeah, this was one, I will not profess to be the world's biggest Jeff Beck fan. I don't own a ton of his records. I own a few. But when it comes to guitar players and influential guitar players, he's right there at the top of the list. And, you know, always did some otherworldly stuff and always continued to stretch himself as far as what he did on the instrument. And I have a great deal of respect for him. And then also obviously the outpouring of tributes and stuff from all corners of not just the rock world, but the music world, in memory of him has been, it's been amazing to see. So, 78, lived a long time. I'm thankful for that. At least his life wasn't cut super short, but still these legends that go, it's just going to keep impacting us more as time goes on.
Right. And I think for myself, being a child of the 80s and 90s, I really didn't know a whole lot about Jeff Beck other than what I read Ace Frehley talking about him. And being in that time, you know, in the world of Guns N' Roses and Motley Crue and Metallica and Ozzy and all this stuff, Jeff Beck's really not in any of that. You know, I don't ever see him in the Hit Craters. I don't ever see him in the Circus, the Metal Edge, none of that, you know. So, like, Jeff Beck is kind of this otherworldly thing, you know. Fast forward all these years later and in doing the Decibel Geek Podcast, and, you know, I'm so grateful for doing this show for so long, because for me personally, it has widened my horizons so much, you know, to stuff that I would never think to listen to. And it made me seek out Jeff Beck. You know, it's like, obviously he's influenced all these people. He's legendary. He's had such a huge footprint on rock and roll guitarists, and that trickles down to all the stuff that we love. So I went back and listened to some of that old Jeff Beck, and those Jeff Beck group albums are something else, man. They are freaking awesome. And I jam on those all the time. I think they're just great. And for somebody, like I said, in the times that we grew up in, Jeff Beck wasn't a name that really came up a lot, you know. And if you look back at the discography, you know, so a lot of his cooler stuff was when he was younger. And then he just became like an old blues guy. But again, look what he did on the Ozzy album. Freaking awesome.
Yeah, for me personally, I remember hearing him when I was a kid because my dad was a big fan of his and loved, like the Yardbird stuff, the Jeff Beck group stuff. He loved the Beck Bogart a Piece stuff, which Carmine, you know, told me about when he was in town last year. And I do remember hearing, you know, the Truth album, the Beckola album in my house growing up. It just never really, you know, clicked for me to be a fan. But obviously, I remember him through my youth. And also, another strange memory that connects to Jeff Beck was my brother was getting into doing artwork when we were kids. And he couldn't have been no more than 13 or 14, but he loved the album cover for Jeff Beck's Guitar Shop album with the guitar up on the hydraulic lift like a garage.
That's awesome.
And my brother did a full pencil sketch of that cover, and I still remember that. And but yeah, and then obviously in the time that we were really getting into rock, he did cross over into that plane because, like, I remember, I'm not a fan of the song, but I like the solo John Bon Jovi, Blaze of Glory. That's Jeff Beck doing the solo on that. You know, that's.
I know that.
Yeah, that's and then I did get to see him live once in 2010 at the at the Beale Street Music Festival in Memphis. I went with my brother, and typical festival show. The lineup we saw was when we got. Well, I'm sure we missed a bunch of bands before we got there, but it was the B-52s going into Jeff Beck, who went into 30 Seconds to Mars, and that, and then the show closed with Limp Bizkit. It was one of the weirdest lineups I've ever seen.
Wow. I wonder if there was any kind of interaction backstage between Jeff Beck and Limp Bizkit.
That
might have been.
Him and Fred Durst have a meeting of the minds. That would be something.
You never know. Jeff Beck did all kinds of different music.
Yeah, he was very, very experimental, and nobody really played just like him. He had a very interesting, unique way of playing the guitar, and I'll always respect that. But yeah, definitely a lot of love shown his way, you know, this week. So, you know, rest in peace, Jeff Beck.
Heck yeah. I mean, if it's okay to still say that. I hear it's sentimental hogwash.
Okay. You put this on the list, so I'm going to let you run it down.
Well, you concocted the list this week like you usually do. And, you know, sometimes I throw extra stuff in there that I see. But I noticed this when I thought, huh, Chris didn't put it on the list. But it moved you enough to speak to it on your Facebook page and ignite a whole backlash in the comments afterwards.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe it got on Tim Gaines' nerves, former bass player for Stryper, that everybody, you know, when somebody passes away, what do you say? You know, if you leave a statement or if you say something, how much they meant to you, just like you did just now with Jeff Beck, you say rest in peace. Mm-hmm. It's just a thing. It's what everybody says, you know. Let me see if I can get the actual post opened up to what he said. So Tim Gaines sees everybody saying rest in peace all the time. And so he goes onto his Twitter and says, sorry to be so blunt, but RIP, sentimental hogwash. Got news for you, folks. No one who dies without Jesus as their savior is resting in peace. There are no second chances. There is no purgatory, just eternity in flames, separated from God. I am sure every person, famous or not, who has passed away into eternity without Christ wishes he or she could return to warn us about the consequences. No man is promised tomorrow. We all have an expiration date. When is yours? Give your life to Christ today. And wowie wow, did people go nuts over that.
Including me.
Including yourself. Now, what was it that you commented on that?
Oh, man. Well, I'm breaking my rule here because I never talk politics or religion on here. So this will probably piss off some listeners. But hey, you put it on the list, so I'll talk about it. No, it just irritated. It irritates me in general because I guess you would call a practicing Christian for a long time. And, I do believe there's a higher power. I do believe there's, call it Jesus, call it Buddha, call it the universe, whatever have you. I think there's something at work there. That's my opinion. Some people think it's all a fairy tale and maybe it is, but my opinion was, basically, people are grieving over the loss of somebody, and Tim Gaines has to run in here like a lot of Christians tend to do and try to pour cold water over everything and give the fire and brimstone speech as if their point of view is the only point of view and there's not a possibility that they might not have it all down right. And I'm not going to get into all the ins and outs of this, but it's just bullshit. And it's just like, you know, Jesus hung with the most irredeemable people. If you believe that story, I'm prefacing that. Not all of you listening to this will believe that story or do believe that story. But even if you want to go that route, if he could talk to you now, he would say, you know, not everyone is a lost cause. And this is just my own personal perspective, but it's just like, why be Debbie Downer on something like this? Even if you feel that way and you are 100% sure in your heart that's the way things go, what good is shitting on people on Facebook going to have? Like, that's the worst sales pitch I've ever heard for becoming a Christian. You're going to die in flames, but God loves you. I mean, come on.
Well, and I think just like you said just now, when you prefaced it with, that's just my opinion, all of this whole thing changes if it begins with, this is how I feel, or this is what I believe. Because if you preface it with that, then you're just making a statement on yourself. Now, you're opening yourself up to a whole lot by doing that on social media.
Oh, sure. As I did.
And the fact that he believes that, and you know what you said, and you know, he got 500 comments. You must have got 1,000, some it looked like.
I don't know.
People, because you're always going to get, like, with that, if you make a hard, cold statement like that and say, this is what it is. Well, that's a pretty tough thing to say. And it's a pretty difficult thing to take or understand if you're reading it or hearing it, because how do you know? Really, you know, is what the response is going to be, or prove it, or you know, it's, you're always opening yourself up to that, even though a lot of people may say, hey, right on, you know, that's how I feel too. It's okay to say, this is how I feel about something.
Sure.
Totally cool. But don't be like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Because as far as I know, you see, there you have it. You know, as far as I believe, there's only one person that's ever died and come back from the dead, and that was Jesus. And I wasn't there to see it, so I have no idea what went down or how it went down or what happened or what it all means. All we can do is be the best people we can and be good to each other and treat each other with love and respect just the way that we would want to be treated. And whether you believe in Christianity or whatever religion it is, for me, you know, Jesus said, treat other people the way you want to be treated. That will be what it is, you yeah. know, and that makes total sense to me.
Yeah. And so, I guess, sorry. But just to kind of bolster my point on this, the main thing that caused me to make the post was that I did attend church for quite a while, but this type of behavior is one of the main reasons why I don't do that anymore. And it's because so many people of the faith, and I am not painting with a wide brush and saying everyone's this way, because I still have friends from that church that I still stay in touch with and I love them. But it's people, there's a lot of people from the faith side of things that do what Tim did here and speak as if they are the all-knowing, you know, without reproach authority on this stuff. And they don't leave any leeway for anyone else's opinion. And I'm sorry, but if you can't be open-minded, then you've cut yourself off to a lot of life.
You know how I know I'm right about this? I was the bass player in Stryper.
Yeah, so obviously we should take what he says.
All authority. I mean,
even Michael Sweet doesn't agree with his post.
No, I suppose not, you know? That's kind of like saying, you know, why would you not murder somebody? And the obvious answer is because I don't want to hurt somebody else. I wouldn't want to take nobody's life. Or the other answer could be, well, because I don't want to go to prison. So if you've got a faith that you believe in it because you love it, not because you're afraid of it. That doesn't jive with me either.
Yeah. I can already tell.
Again, this is a whole conversation like politics. You know, if you got the balls to go online and say something like that, Tim Gaines, you know, you got to expect to get tore up for it. You might as well go online and talk about how much you love Joe Biden or President Trump or President Biden or whoever, you know, that you love, and people are going to tear you up for it, you know? So sometimes I think people go on there and do that shit just to get the response, just to be like, yeah, 500 comments.
Well, I certainly wasn't coming from that angle. And honestly, I had a few beers before I made that post, and I knew, I was like, this is going to piss people off, and I'm going to have some people tell me I'm an idiot. And I did it. And then I got to the next day and I was clear headed and I went back and I reread it. And I'm like, you know what? This is how I feel. So I just left it up. And I mean, from this episode now, I'm sure we're going to have some people that love what we're saying right now and some people that hate it, but well, it's our show. So whatever.
Yeah, pretty wild. You know, like I said, get on Facebook, get on Twitter, talk about religion, talk about politics, and see what it gets you.
Didn't get me much.
That's not no breaking news.
I just learned to keep my mouth shut.
All right, what's next?
Great White's Mark Kendall commented on the first show they did with new singer Brett Carlisle. He did an interview with the Mark 2.0 podcast. He said, Brett's got a range from A to Z. He was just filling in for a show in Vegas because Andrew Freeman is a wonderful singer and a kick-ass dude. I love him, but he's in another band. He's a part owner of The Name. They just made a record. I think he means last. He's part owner of The Name of Last in Line. They're touring. It's hard for a band like us to have a singer that's in other bands too. Oh, who's your singer? The guy from Last in Line. So this was just a fill-in thing. I almost didn't want to do it. We had to audition some guy from George Lynch and another guy from Sons of Something. I don't even know. And when we heard this kid, 25 years old, sing on a couple of tracks, we just gave him this music and he overdubbed his vocal. And I go, well, at least this guy is at least singing close. But I'm not doing it if we can't rehearse. We've got to at least rehearse once. So then he was saying this could be career ending. He was pretty worried about it. And,
sure. You find a guy that can sing it on YouTube, and then you go, okay, meet us at this venue, and you're going to be the lead singer for the show. And they go, okay, cool. You know, here's your tickets. Get on this flight. Go. You meet him there. It's time to get on stage. You've never rehearsed. And he's like, I can't do it. I'm terrified. And you're screwed. Yeah, you got to rehearse at least once.
He said, we're doing like Stick It, and he's singing verbatim. I mean, hitting all those notes, and it is high. That stuff is up there. And some of those songs like Lady Red Light are very difficult to sing. It's in that Foreigner range. Everybody that tried to sing it always struggled. The kid nailed it. I mean, just absolutely. I didn't have to say anything. Just 1, 2, 3, 4, go. So it was really good. But yeah, Brett's really fitting in well with the band, and we're excited to have him come into Rockin' Pod.
Man, can you imagine that rehearsal? When Mark looks over at Michael and they look at each other like, holy shit, you know that moment happened. Because think about it. They start out with Jack Russell. That's the ultimate version of the band. You know, back in their prime, that's what everybody loves the best about Great White. Over the years, things change. You know, Jack Russell can't fit the band no more. And so he's out doing his own thing. They try, you know, a couple different singers. They end up with, what's his name? Mitch Malloy. Mitch Malloy is not a good fit for Great White. You know, everybody said it from day one. You know, he's a great singer. He's got fantastic smile, but he's not a great fit for Great White. And then, you know, Andrew Freeman, he's awesome in Last in Line. You know, he's got that Dio vibe to him, but that's not what Great White's known for either. So, I mean, these guys have struggled for a long time, this version of Great White, to replace Jack Russell, and have tried multiple times with multiple singers, and it's never worked out. Can you imagine when they heard him sing, and, you know, he nailed it. I've seen the footage of him playing that show. He freaking nailed it. They got to be just like, wow, this is it. We finally done it. Good feeling. I got to imagine.
Yeah. He's done great on the stuff I've seen. I know they're doing several dates now, so but yeah, he's got his head screwed on straight. He's doing a great job with the band, and it'd be interesting to hear if they end up. I heard they are writing new material, so it'd be interesting to hear a record with him.
You know what? I put money on the fact that it would be probably the greatest thing that version of Great White has done since they parted ways with Jack Russell.
Yeah, I would think so.
I'm actually really looking forward to that if that's the case.
Yep.
Hell yeah, kind of like Skid Row's got a young singer that sounds a lot like Sebastian Bach. This is a situation a lot like that, where Great White's got a young singer now that sounds a lot like Jack Russell. If the results are the same as what Skid Row did on their last album, yeah, bring it on. I'd love to hear it.
All right. In a new interview with Eon Music, guitarist Paul Crook confirmed that he's been in touch with John Bush about joining the former Anthrax and current Armand Saint vocalists on a special tour in which they would perform material from John's time in Anthrax.
Hell yes. We've been talking about that for a while, hoping that this would happen. And you even called it, because you said, how cool would it be if you hooked up with Paul Crook? And now look what's happening. You're a regular old Nostradamus.
Nostradamus. I mean, it was more just a wish, because Paul was very heavily involved with guitar playing and production work with them through those years. And I mean, I'm like, me and Victor Ruiz are like the two people that absolutely love the Volume 8 record, but Paul was hugely involved with that one. And Paul went on to be Meat Loaf's musical director and guitar player, so he's, you know, he's a very professional guy. He's a great player. But I really hope this is, he says it's going to happen. They're working on it, and I just hope that we get some shows here in the States, and I hope it's a show that I can at least somehow drive to or at least get to.
Yeah, I definitely want to see that. The return of Bush Thrax in 2023.
Yeah. I could already imagine like what my ideal set list would be for that, you know.
So much to choose from.
Yep. So yeah, keep your fingers crossed on that. I think it would be cool. I love the Armored Saint stuff, but yeah, it would mean a lot to me to see a show with that material covered again, because Anthrax for the most part ignores it all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Joey Belladonna's not going to sing most of it. What they do? They did one song, didn't they?
Yeah, they do Only.
Only. That's right.
It's the only one they do from that era. Yeah.
Huh. Count me in on that.
Some worrisome news. Motley Crue's Vince Neil is apparently getting his ass kicked by COVID-19. Those were his words. He was due to play at the Rock Island Festival this coming weekend in Key West and had to bow out and said that COVID is really kicking my ass. All that being said, I'm unable to perform at Rock Island Fest. But some people aren't taking this at face value, because Motley and Def Leppard, I think, are doing a show in Florida, not around this time, I think. But there's been rumors behind the scenes that Nikki is not happy with Vince scheduling solo shows and doing a bunch of Motley material, and that he put the kibosh on this.
Yeah. We don't need to go see Motley Crue for $200 at the stadium when we can just go down to the club and hear the same songs for $50.
You'll still get every third lyric, but yeah, it's the same.
Exactly the same. Poor guy. I hope he ain't sick. I hope he gets better.
Yeah, I hope he is, because Vince is not the healthiest cat out there, so I would worry about him with COVID.
I was going to say, it's not good for obese people. I know that.
Yeah. So you added a Dave Mustaine story here. You want to take this one?
I just thought it was kind of funny, because it's always Dave Mustaine taking a shot at somebody. And this time it's Lars Ulrich. So he's talking about way back in the day. This was on metalinjection.net. He's talking about way back in the day when they're in Metallica and they get a chance to open up for Diamond Head, that Lars's relationship with the band and Dave's relationship with the band were two very different things, where Dave says he was able to, you know, meet them eye to eye as musicians, as equals, as, you know, two guys playing guitar in a band, where Lars was just like a fanboy who would follow him around all the time. But he's talking about like the influence of Diamond Head, but he's got to stick that in there, you know. Yeah, I met these guys as equals. Lars was asking him if he could carry their bags.
Hey boy, Dave. Not a surprising thing for him to say. He's really been a lightning rod this past year since putting out the new record. So, although I'm glad he took a break from talking shit about Ellison for a minute. Now he moved back to Lars, but you know, he's entitled to his opinion. But yeah, I don't know. I almost wonder if he knows how he's coming off when he says these things.
I don't know. Sometimes he probably just says them and then later on goes, "Oh, I didn't mean to come off like that." Who knows? Maybe you don't give a fuck.
Well, I mean, if I look at it in a certain context, I can see, I mean, it's probably true, because Lars was a huge fan of that band. So if you look at it in the right context, I mean, yeah, Lars was a fan and was nerding out over him. But to Dave, he's probably like, well, that's just another band.
Yeah, well, to call him a fanboy is kind of funny.
That term's not the best.
No, but there's a lot of fanboys of a lot of things, you know, but it's still a funny term.
I'm sure
like Lars, a fanny pack. Fanny pack is super useful, but nobody wears them.
I'm sure Lars is not losing any sleep over it.
No, probably not.
Yeah. Mike Portnoy has confirmed he is going to be the drummer for Twisted Sister's Metal Hall of Fame reunion performance. Do you hear about this?
No.
Yeah, he was on our friend Chuck Schutz's podcast and said, we've known that we're playing for months now. I think it was only kind of made public a few days ago. He said, Steve Vai and myself are inducting them into the Metal Hall of Fame, and then we'll be performing a few songs there at the ceremony, which is cool because, you know, he's a New Jersey guy just like they are. So I think he's filled in on, yeah, he was with the, he filled in for them after AJ Perro passed away. So it's just a natural thing for him to be their drummer. I still say he's probably going to be the drummer for Mr. Big, but I don't know for sure.
Man, he's going to be in Twisted Sister, you know? They're going to get back together and start a new tour and new album, all that. It's coming. So still got to be, you know, freeze up that spot. They haven't made the announcement yet, huh?
No Alex Van Halen yet.
Man, it just seems perfect. If they could only hear us talking about it, they too would say, that's a perfect idea. Has anybody reached out to Alex Van Halen about this? Billy Sheehan got his number. I know you must.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Give him a call. Might say yes.
And for self-promotion's sake, I should remind everyone that Eddie Ojeda from Twisted Sister will be at Rockin' Pod Expo March 18th.
Yeah, he will be. That's going to be awesome. I'm super looking forward to meeting him. I've got Twisted Sister CDs for days for that guy to autograph. I know you guys got albums, all kinds of stuff. You want to meet that dude, get it autographed. He'll be at Rockin' Pod.
And with Mark Weiss being there, you can get your Stay Hungry album signed by both of them.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Oh, I love that.
That's legendary cover photo.
All right. Well, talking about one drummer, Mike Portnoy, let's talk about another one. The drummer from Obituary. Yeah, you guys remember Obituary, heavy metal band. Well, the drummer, Donald Tardy, was featured on CNN recently. But it's not for committing crimes or something you would think out of a band named Obituary. He was actually featured because what he does, and it doesn't say in the article where this is happening at or what town, what city, but he says basically when he's not on tour, he's at home. And he goes out at night for like 2.5 hours every night. He loads up his truck with food and fresh water, and he drives around. He's got a route, and he does it every night. And he takes feral cats out on the streets and he brings them fresh water and food. He calls it Metal Meowalicia. And he's out there in the streets helping homeless cats. The drummer of Obituary. Can you believe it?
No, I heard that he was in New Jersey and he tried to take some food to Peter Criss's house, but he got thrown out.
Come here, boy. I know you're hungry.
Apparently, Eric Singer was a lot more accommodating. He willingly accepted the help.
Eric Singer's out there waiting for the food. Where's he at? That's funny. All right, we're getting down there. You want to do my segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Rock star birthdays, rock star death days, and albums on the horizon. Let's do it. Let's start with the birthdays. The last time we did this, we left off on January 8th. So let's pick up on the 9th, celebrating his 79th birthday in 2023. The legendary Jimmy Page. Getting up there in age. Yeah. These are the guys, you know, you talk about Jeff Beck. These are the guys that are 79 years old, you know, the legends of rock. How much longer is Jimmy Page going to be around?
Hopefully a lot longer,
but at 78.
Well, I mean, he did practice all that black magic and witchcraft, so maybe he's got a little bit longer.
Mortal, he's going to live forever. Yeah. Celebrating a birthday on the 10th, another legendary guitar player, Michael Schenker.
Michael Schenker.
I knew you were going to say that. It took me a long time. I thought I had a speech impediment. Turns out all I had to do was learn how to speak German.
He's the German Dave Mustaine.
That's right. And he's turning 68 years old this year. Celebrating a birthday also on the 10th, singer that everybody knows, videos all over in our timeline. Pat Benatar, she's 70.
That's Neil Giraldo's wife.
That's right. That's right. Mrs. Giraldo, otherwise known as. Our friend Laura Ford on the 11th used to manage SIR Studios right here in Nashville, told us all kinds of funny stories about Vinnie Vincent.
She still manages it.
Is she? I thought she retired.
No, she's still working.
I guess they couldn't find nobody to replace her. I swear, I thought she retired.
Mm-mm, she's still there.
Okay, well, there you go. If you want to be treated right and have professional, well, you already know how SIR works. We're friends with Laura. She's awesome. Rich Canamar celebrating a birthday on the 11th. Friend of the show. Awesome. On the 12th, we got a bunch on the 12th, four of them. Rob Zombie turns 58 on the 12th. Howard Stern celebrating a birthday on the same day, turns 69.
Wow.
You know, I saw something funny about Howard Stern that, what's his name? He did, what's Maher?
Bill Maher.
Bill Maher does that show where he's just in a room drinking and recording it and doing like a video podcast. He had Gene Simmons on there not too long ago, mm-hmm. but he had, I forget who he had on there with him, but he was talking about Howard Stern and how, like, when the pandemic happened, you know, we were all pretty apprehensive about it. We were all nervous. Nobody wanted to catch it. People were dying from it. But nobody was more terrified about it than Howard Stern. And, you know, Howard Stern does a show now from his home.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't leave his home, apparently, for nothing.
Well.
And Bill Maher was lamenting that, you know, it's sad because he'll probably never see him again because he doesn't ever leave his home.
Yeah, but I still have the theory that Howard always wanted this situation. The pandemic just gave him an excuse to do it.
Become a hermit.
Yeah, he hates people in general. So, once he went home during the pandemic, I was like, he won't come back. Even if it's not a germ thing, he just doesn't like being around people in general.
Yeah, yeah. And in the day and age where you have all your food delivered to you and everything, I mean, I guess if you want to be a hermit, you can do it if you got the money. Let's see. Also on the 12th, our great friend from Canada, Chuck Noseworthy, celebrating a birthday. And pretty much a local legend here with Rockin' Pod. He's been here, I think, for all of them. Always excited to see him celebrating a birthday on the 12th. He's been to the Illuminati party, Sean Cullen.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if Sean's going to come back this year. I haven't seen him buy a ticket yet, so hopefully we get to see him.
Yeah, one of my favorite people, long time supporter of this show. We love him.
And just clear things up, we're not talking about the real Illuminati here.
I don't even remember how it got that name, the party.
I don't. It was a group of us that are like really tight knit, but we're not saying Sean is part of the actual Illuminati. Let's just make sure that that's clear. Of course, even if he was, we wouldn't tell you.
Well, that's funny. Like I got that the NWO license plate vanity. I don't know if it's a vanity plate, but it's like the plate for the front of the car. Because here in Tennessee, you only got to have back plates. I got this old guy one day going, New World Order. What is that? And I'm like, oh no, it's not that. It's, you know, Hulk Hogan. It's wrestling. But I never imagined when I put that on my car that I would have to ever explain that it wasn't, you know, the actual New World Order.
Maybe Hulk Hogan leads up the actual Illuminati, and it's all been right there in front of us the whole time.
Oh shit! Sign me up. I can imagine the first day walking in the Illuminati. There's Hulk Hogan. There's Ace Frehley. There's Cobra Commander. All my favorite people right there waiting to meet me. Let's see. Well, here's a guy that would have been celebrating a birthday on the 13th, but passed away many years ago. Former guitarist from Slaughter, Tim Kelly, would have been 60 this year.
Great guitar player and even better person from what I've heard.
Yeah, we met him one time in Wisconsin. We were young kids. He was super cool. Let's see. On the 14th, a bunch of birthdays. I'm going to just run them down for you. Dave Grohl, Zakk Wylde, Michael Tramp, Jeff Tate. Who's the oldest out of them?
Jeff Tate.
Correct. Jeff Tate's turned 64. Zakk Wylde's turning 62. Michael Tramp. Oh, no, sorry. Michael Tramp, 62. Zach Wilde, 56. Dave Grohl, 54. All four of them guys celebrating a birthday on the 14th.
Side note on Jeff Tate. I don't know if you ever go on Metal Sludge Board and read. You know who Adam Bomb is, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So Adam Bomb will post on there, and he'll post these really long stories about his days back in the day. And, like, he grew up in Seattle, and he knew Jeff Tate when he was in high school. And or Adam was in high school. Jeff was, like, 23 at the time. And okay. This is, like, late 70s. And Jeff Tate was using a stage name at the time, and he was calling himself Jeff Waterfall.
Jeff Waterfall. That's catchy. People will remember that.
I remembered it.
That's funny. When you're a kid and you think, man, that sounds cool. Jeff Waterfall. That's something.
Well, you know, TLC warned you, don't go chasing Jeff Waterfall.
All right, also celebrating a birthday on the 14th, our awesome friend from here in Nashville. He's at all the coolest concerts. He always goes to Rock and Pod. Lynn Ramsey celebrating a birthday on the 14th.
All right.
And on the 15th, turning 58, Adam Jones, guitarist from Tool. Ronnie Van Zant on the 15th would have turned 75 had he lived. My awesome friend from Merrill, Wisconsin, talked about him on the show many times over the years. Eddie Dinges celebrating a birthday on the 15th. Feel like I'm back on WJMT. Oh, no, the birthdays. On the 16th, we give a big, awesome, happy birthday to our awesome friend, Bill Elam. Longtime supporter of the show. You'll hear his name weekly on Geeks of the Week. Former guest of the show celebrating a birthday on the 16th, Hot Sam.
Jay Barth, love that guy.
Awesome dude. And let's see. Kid Rock's turning 52. Kai Hansen from Helloween is turning 60. And Mick Taylor from the Stones is 74.
Wow.
Those are your GeekWire birthdays for the week. Now, for people that we need to remember, where did we leave it off last time? I think we left off with Stevie Clark. Had a long conversation about him and how Def Leppard sucks without him. Let's see. Celebrating the memories this week on the 10th, David Bowie passed away in 2016 at the age of 69 from liver cancer. A lot of awesome David Bowie to listen to. All that stuff's kind of 50-50 with me. But the David Bowie I like a lot. But most of it's too artsy and weird. I've got to remember the memory of the man. He was in Motorhead and Fastway, legendary guitarist, Fast Eddie Clark, passed away in 2018 on the 10th, age 67. Pneumonia got him.
Great guitar player.
Here's one from a year ago. Hasn't been that long. The man lived to be 71 years old. One of the most unsung bands, I think, ever. Budgie, their lead vocalist and bass player, Burke Shelley, the guy who wrote the songs that influenced Metallica and helped them become what they became. Like I said, passed away last year on the 10th, 71 years old, had some heart issues. Sad to say, we talked about it earlier in the show, got to add Jeff Beck to this list.
Yeah,
that meningitis is some scary shit, man. Look that up. There's signs, you know. That can get anybody.
Scary shit.
And then a couple of days after that, Robbie Bachman, the old school drummer from BTO, passed away at 69. Passed away at 69. Let's see. Here's one I know that's close to your heart. Back in 2021 on the 13th, we celebrate the memory of Sylvain Sylvain, who passed away at the age of 69 of cancer. Of course, Sylvain Sylvain, lead guitarist of the New York Dolls.
Yeah, that was a sad day. Sometimes I forget that he's gone still. That's just, that one kind of, I knew he was sick for a while, but it's always so much harder when it finally happens.
Yeah, and I know that was somebody that you had your heart set on for Rockin' Pod, and
Yeah.
by the time we got out, tried to get a hold of him, he was here in Nashville. He probably was already not doing so hot.
He wasn't, and I even had a couple of phone calls with him about it. I was buying some autograph stuff from him online, and then I was like, "Hey, I want you to come to my event or come to my podcast." And he was just like, "I'm better over the phone, so let me just so just call me." And he gave me his number, and then we talked a couple of times, and he was a nice guy, but man, I could tell there was something a little off when I talked to him. But it was an honor to get to talk to him, and I've got an awesome framed photo that he signed of him and Johnny Thunders, and that's one of my favorite collectibles.
Yeah, that thing is awesome. I remember you how excited you were when you showed that to me for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotta remember Sylvain. Break out some old New York dolls and listen to him rip on that. Let's see. On the 13th, here's another one. Well, you know what? The same day as Sylvain. I mean, this guy was in Vanilla Fudge and Cactus. We talk about great bass players. This is one you gotta bring up. Awesome singer. Great songwriter, Tim Bogert.
Yeah, I have Beck Bogert in a piece, and now there's just a piece left.
Not getting any easier, folks. We got to keep the rock and roll alive because, as this list contends, just a couple of years ago, we're losing all these people. Just last week, we're losing all these people. Here's one that pretty young, at age 45 in 1992. A drug overdose. This is a crazy story. This was a guy that Peter Criss looked up to, New York Dolls drummer Jerry Nolan.
Yeah, was Peter Criss's best friend from childhood.
I don't know a whole lot about Jerry Nolan. I know 45 is kind of a funny age to be dying of an overdose.
Yeah, he couldn't shake the heroin. It just ruined him.
At a certain point, you got to grow up. Let's see who else we got till we remember this week. This is another name that's kind of comes with a little controversy, but we lost Dave Holland, the classic Priest drummer, on the 16th of 2018, the age of 69, to lung cancer, is what they say. Awesome drummer, man. I'll tell you that. On the 16th, crazy old Phil Spector passed away. The creator of the Wall of Sound, one of the most legendary producers of all time. Also a big weirdo and quite likely a murderer.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the Ramones End of the Century documentary, just watch it just for the talk of the making of that record. The stories are fucking insane.
Dude was pretty insane. Yeah, he got sick in prison. They got him out to the hospital, but I mean, 81 years old when you're getting. You're living in prison. I mean, how long are you gonna last? Let's see, on the 18th, you gotta remember, passed away in 2016 at the age of 67. Legendary part of a legendary band, the Eagles, Glenn Frey. It's away on the 18th. And then it was just last year on the 20th. We mentioned him a little bit earlier. I mean, he had some health problems and then he caught the COVID. Just like so many people that had health problems and caught the COVID, it killed him. Got to remember Meatloaf.
Yeah, was living here in Nashville too.
Right. And I guess that's as far as we'll go this time. It bums me out to know that already in the year, like we had it easy on the way out in December. Like the last time we did this, there was like two people. It's great. Only two people that you got to remember that are gone. But this week, man, a whole lot. And the list keeps growing week by week, it seems like. Rest in peace, all these people, if that's still cool to say. And the most important thing you can do is remember their music and crank it up whenever you can to think about these artists that have passed on, and passed on their legacies onto the future. And hopefully this rock and roll that we love so much stays alive for many years to come. And speaking of which, let's talk about new albums coming out because it's a whole new year. So we got some new stuff, some stuff that already came out. On the 6th, Iggy Pop came out with his 19th studio album called Every Loser. It features Duff McKagan, Andrew Watt, and Chad Smith. He went and got the Ozzy Band. This album's got to be pretty good, right? I would think. Plus, it's got Dave Navarro, Stone Gossard, and Taylor Hawkins on it before he passed away. So that one's out now. It's called Every Loser, the 19th album from Iggy Pop. Then on the 12th, we got an album coming out called Boulevards of Splendor by the old school Runaway singer Cherie Curry.
Well, that's not necessarily a new album. It's a new release on like digital and streaming and CD, but it's been on vinyl for like 10 years.
Oh, really? It says it's got Billy Corgan / Duff and Matt Sorum.
She was on Joan Jett's Blackheart label for a while, and I guess there was a lot of legal red tape that caused it to get shelved for quite a while, so it's finally basically seeing the light of day now. And she's going to tour the UK and Europe soon.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty cool that she's still out there doing it. Mm-hmm. So if you've been waiting for that album to be available, there it is. It's out now. And then on the 13th, talked about the man saving the cats and playing the drums for Obituary. Their 11th studio album is coming out. It's their first since 2017. There's a single out with a video right now. You can look it up on the YouTube. It's called The Wrong Time. And their new album is called Dying of Everything. And that comes out on the 13th. So look into the future. We got some cool stuff coming our way. I know some bands that are guaranteed to be coming out with albums this year are Accept, Airborne, Avenged Sevenfold, Chevelle, Dark Angel, Doro. Europe is supposed to be for sure coming out with a new album in 2023. Remember Helix? Mm-hmm. Canadian heavy metal band. They're coming out with a new album this year. The Kings of Chaos, which is like a supergroup kind of thing. I guess they're coming out with an album. Merciful Fate's got new stuff coming this year. Overkill. They haven't got a release date on it, but I think it's coming soon. So we'll keep our eyes open for an announcement for that. Raven's got a new album coming out this year. Seven Dust, Stained, The Rods, Trouble, Vicious Rumors, lots of bands. And we're looking forward to a new album from Anthrax as well. I hear they've been working on it for like 3 years.
Yeah, Charlie said in an interview, he said he feels like Def Leppard because it's taken so long to put the record on. He's like, it better not fucking sound like Def Leppard like the last Tesla record did.
Man, I sure hope Phil Collins isn't producing it or anything.
That would be a weird combination, wouldn't it?
Oh, man, for the third week in a row. Way to go, Phil.
I'm like picturing a thrash version of Make Love Like a Man.
No, no, don't picture it. It'll only hurt you. What an awful thing.
Yeah.
No, I got to imagine it's going to be good. Anthrax, you know what? They always seem to deliver.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, me too. Hey, speaking of Phil Collins, I've got another idea that we can pitch to Netflix for a TV show.
What's that? You take
Phil Collins from Def Leppard. You team them up with Phil Collins, and you make them write an album together. Film the chaos.
Hey, I don't know if Netflix has the body butter budget to cover Phil Collins on that.
I don't even know what that means.
He's always like got his shirt off and he's greased up.
Oh, yeah. He's a greasy dude for sure.
It would just be Phil Collins telling him to put his shirt on for like 2 hours.
Don't knock it till you try it, Phil Collins. As a surprise twist, halfway through the season, we bring in Bootsy Collins.
The Collins connection.
Yeah, I like it. That's a hit. People will watch that.
I think we should stick to podcasting.
All right, what else we got in the news?
This is something, and maybe I had too much to drink when I came up with this idea, but I want to go through with this. You can actually rent on Airbnb Ace Frehley's Wilton, Connecticut home. Uh-huh. And I had a thought, why don't we get together with some KISS podcasters and we all rent the house out and do like a KISS podcasting summit at the house?
Oh, that'd be awesome. Actually, I was thinking, hey, maybe we could have a Rockin' Pod there, like Rockin' Pod, Connecticut division.
At his house?
Yeah, have Rockin' Pod inside the house.
Oh, boy.
Don't in the yard. Massive place.
It's not that big. But I even have an idea already. Like, we would take a picture of all of us standing on the back deck, and the caption would be Ace's back deck, and we told you so.
That's awesome. I love it. No, that's pretty cool. And it's a nice looking place. I know that on YouTube, there's a video of somebody. I don't know if it's like right after Ace moved out, but it's old like camcorder footage. So I could imagine so. But they toured the place and it was emptied out, but there was a lot of damage to it. But he went down to the basement and into the studio. And, you know, I've got to imagine the bullet holes were all in the walls. And, you know, Crazy Joe Renda told us that's the house, right?
Yeah, that's the house.
Amazing. The rock and roll just saturated in the walls of that place.
I'm just saying.
Just got to put your hand to the wall and close your eyes and absorb it.
But yeah, that's my, if somebody else runs with it, I won't get paid for it. But yeah, Kiss Podcasting Summit at Ace's house. It's an hour and a half away from New York City. We could all go into the city and go to the Kiss sites and take photos, and it could be a great trip. We just have to talk our wives into it.
Right. Yeah. I was just thinking, how do I approach my wife with this idea? Like, she ain't going for that. Was it like a big sleepover? I'm not doing that.
Now, honey, I know we could go to the Bahamas. We could go to Cancun, but hear me out. Wilton, Connecticut. Come on.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's a hard sell.
We'll do this trip when we're both divorced.
Right, yeah, or shortly thereafter.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I already looked it up too. It's $500 a night.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was more than that.
Mm-mm.
Oh, well, that ain't bad at all. I thought Jamie said it. She was lying to me. She probably just said that to put it out of my mind.
What I saw was 500. It might be more depending on dates, but I mean, it's a 5-bedroom house.
Yeah.
So why not?
I tell her I got a surprise for our honeymoon.
Honey, you know you want to hang out with, you know you want to hang out, you want to hang out with me, Chris, and Joe Polo and Sonny Pooney.
It'll be awesome.
Yeah,
you'll have a great time. I promise.
Oh sure. Well, we do have one more Kiss-related story to finish things off. But before we get to that, this is something that popped up this a couple weeks ago that I wanted to cover because I had no idea about this. Apparently, back in the day, Iggy Pop claims that he was once approached about becoming AC/DC's lead singer.
I can't even imagine. Can't even imagine what that would be like. She was a fast machine. She kept her motor clean. She was the best. You know what? No, that can't be.
That's a great Iggy Pop impression.
So yeah, I just started one of them YouTube channels. What if Iggy Pop? Just different songs.
But I guess this would have been right after Bond passed away before they got Brian Johnson. But boy, I like Iggy Pop and I like AC/DC, but I don't think I'd want to intermingle the two.
No, I don't think so. That just doesn't seem right. It'd be interesting. You know, I like Iggy Pop's heavy stuff, and he does have, we could do a heavier side of Iggy Pop for sure. And I'm a fan of Iggy Pop. I like it. I like his songwriting, especially when it's, again, that's another one that's probably 50-50 with me. Some of his stuff's artsy and weird. Some of his stuff is just straight up rock, and I love that stuff, but I don't know. Hell's Bells with Iggy Pop singing? I don't think so. I don't think Back in Black becomes the big hit that it was if Iggy Pop is singing on it. Because you alienate everybody.
I mean, on one side of the stage, you've got a guy in a schoolboy outfit going insane, and then on the other side, you got this dude with his shirt off smearing peanut butter all over himself.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Me neither.
Crazy.
All right, well, let's address the pink elephant in the room because I initially wasn't really going to talk on this. I don't post on social media about Vinnie Vincent because all it does is invite people to take shots on there. But it's our show, and with what I saw online recently, we have to address it because, my God. Vinny did another one of his SIR parties this weekend as we record this, and that's no big news.
Here in Nashville?
Yeah, here in Nashville. And that's like not a big deal because he does these every few months. But the thing that struck me funny is somebody leaked a pricing list that went out to these private groups that he has over, hey, if you're coming to the event, here's some of the stuff that you can buy at the event. And before I get into the really crazy stuff, the thing that annoys me the most about this is people are paying $500 to get in to start with. And now he's charging $100 for a selfie and like $300 to get an album signed.
Wow.
So you can't.
I mean, damn, if you're paying $500 that
more, yeah,
shouldn't have to pay for a selfie.
Exactly. But then on top of that, some of this stuff is ridiculous. So you've got the, and I'm reading off Vinny's descriptions of this stuff, and of course everything's in all caps. The Mega Rare 10th Anniversary Lick It Up Kiss Tour Books, Creatures cover on a Lick It Up Tour Book, brand new with original insert. They used the same cover on the Lick It Up Tour Book as they did on the Creatures Tour Book. There's nothing rare about this, and he wants $3,000 for it.
Dang. You just got one?
Oh, no, he's got multiple copies, but $3,000 each. And original Kiss logo guitar pick used by Vinnie Vincent at the infamous Kiss Rio show, June of 1983. This is a Hard Rock display piece for certain, $5,000.
And then there's no way to prove that that's the actual pick, because you've heard so many stories over the years of Vinnie Vincent going, this is my favorite guitar, I played this on Lick It Up, and then it's not. Kiss has told stories about that. Mm-hmm. How can you trust it?
Yep. Then Gene Simmons' Rio pick will also be there. Vinny saved these picks as a memento of that historic event. $3,500. I love that he values his pick that much higher than Gene's pick.
Wait a minute. How much was his?
$5,000.
Oh. That's so Vinny. That's funny.
Then next is Super Rare Kiss Creatures Tour Itinerary Binder. Hardcover with Kiss logo on cover with Creatures black and white photo. Autographed by Eric, Vinnie, Gene, and Paul. Definitely a Hard Rock museum piece. And then it's just a bunch of dollar signs. It doesn't have a price.
Because that thing really is one of four, I guess.
That'd be hard to find. Also, there will be out-of-print Vinnie Vincent CDs autographed for $500.
Are they just like CDRs with nothing on them?
Yeah, pretty much. Then they list the Creatures itinerary binder again and spelled itinerary wrong. Vinnie Vincent boots, that's all it says. These are the ones that kind of pissed everyone off. Original set of Polaroid test shots from Creatures tour book, 17 in all, $35,000. Original set of Polaroid test shots from Lick It Up tour book, 32 in all, $32,000. So for $67,000, you can have 49 Polaroids.
Crazy expensive. What are they? I guess, are they one of a kind? I mean, I wouldn't do it. No. If there's some, you know, multimillionaire crazy Kiss fan out there, they might.
If you want the Vinnie Vincent choker worn in the Boys Are Gonna Rock video, it's only $10,000.
Wow. Can't imagine somebody paying that much for that. I mean, we talked about when we did our Christmas shopping episode last year about how like the Motley Crue Vince Neil glove that he wore in all the videos, that wasn't that much. Mm-mm. We're talking about classic Motley Crue versus Vinnie Vincent invasion memorabilia in general, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would consider it if he was wearing it and I could choke him in the process. Maybe.
Oh, I misread it. It said choker, not choker.
Yeah. Psycho Rare misprint Vinnie Vincent trading card from Lick It Up era inserted into Seymour Duncan guitar string packs in 1986. There's no price for that, but I think somebody said he wanted like $5,000 for that.
What is it?
It's a trading card from Seymour Duncan guitar string packs.
Huh. Kind of like you used to get in the Wonder Bread.
And then this one cracked me up. Very rare Vinnie Vincent fleece blankets will be there. The blankets will be autographed by Vinnie. These blankets have never been available before with the VV signature. The blankets have been sold out for a number of years, but Vinnie saved a limited batch, and here they are. Wow, $450.
Blankets?
Yes.
I don't understand. Is this something that he offered before and the demand was so high that it went away?
Yeah, he had it on his website. And back then, they were like $50. But now they're $450 because he signed it.
So, I mean, but is it, what, is it a picture of him on the blanket or is it just a blanket? Yeah.
No, it's a one of the 80s picture of him with his guitar printed onto a blanket.
I got you. Okay. All right.
I think your wife would want one of those, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'd be like, Chris sleeps with his every night, and he loves it. I thought you'd like one, too.
Yeah. And then one thing that was a holdover from the Creatures Fest thing, if you want your Kistry book autographed just like there, it's $1,000.
You bring your own Kistry book in, and he signs it, you give him $1,000.
Yep.
Crazy.
So,
I mean, here's the thing. If you do something like that and one person does it, you made some money. Made some good money.
Sure.
For nothing.
Yeah.
If one person has everybody's autograph on their history book except for Vinnie Vincent, and they go, fuck, for $1,500, I could get this. Or no, what? $1,500.
No, don't be crazy. It was only $1,000.
Well, no, but you got to pay the $500 to get in.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then plus the $1,000 to get your book autographed. So if you had everybody else but Vinnie Vincent and you had the money, you know, man, I'm going to have to go do this before somebody, you know, I don't know. I could see like, and like you say, so then if one person, you put all that out there, all this crazy expensive stuff, and one person does that, well, shit, you made $1,500. That alone is worth it. Plus, you know, you got two or three other people show up. There you go. There's another. You made $3,000 for what? Hanging out.
Yep. I mean, it's good work if you can get it, I guess. But yeah, it's I wouldn't pay these prices or anything, even a fraction of these prices for what he's asking. But I don't know. It's just more evidence that he's a con man. You know, that's what he is. He cons people out of stuff. And then I even heard that he had one of his fans who's a lovely lady who has her own YouTube channel, and she supports him, and she's a great woman. I met her in 2019 at Rockin' Pod, so I'm not piling on. But she apparently catered this event for him, and it just reeks of him basically taking advantage of people where he does, so he doesn't have to pay out anything.
Hmm.
I heard he did give her a blanket.
But it was just a regular blanket.
No, it was an autographed blanket. I saw a picture of it.
All right.
Yeah. So I guess that I hope that at the very least he gave her that for free, for what in exchange for what she did. But you know, just
$500. What do you want?
Vinny's delusion just continues, and it's a sad thing. Of this is what it's come to since his 2018 comeback. No autobiography, no book, no new music, no nothing. Just these little parties and continued promises that never come to anything.
It's not much of a comeback.
No, it's terrible.
Well, you get what you get sometimes. You get what you get.
Yeah.
So that's a cautionary tale right there. See, making you aware of what's going on in the world around you. Don't fall into none of that. And look up what the signs of meningitis are, because it can get anybody.
Now you're scaring me.
Right. Well, don't be scared. Just be aware, you know. There are signs for these things. You think you got a sore neck, it might be something worse if there's other things involved. I'll let you do the research.
And you could be going to hell.
You could be going to hell, or you could be going to Ace Frehley's Airbnb rental.
Yeah, there's a lot of options here we've covered today.
Go help feed the feral cats in New Jersey with the drummer from Obituary. you can come to Rockin' Pod and hang out with Stevie Rochelle and Jason McMaster and Brett Carlisle from Great White and all these other awesome people. Keel Fest too. You want the information on all that good stuff? It's rockinpod.com. You want to find your new favorite music podcast besides Decibel Geek? It's Pantheon Podcast. They're going to lay it all out for you, make it easy. You'll find your new favorites. All that and a whole lot more. We've got a cool episode coming your way next week. You guys definitely going to look forward to that one coming next. And yeah, this has been your news. This is Decibel Geek, and that is GeekWire.
See ya.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.